Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, we thank you for the unexpected light that shows our way to peace. God, be with us as we open our hearts to your word and your wisdom. Amen. So it is Advent. It is, as I was explaining during the children's message, today is the start of a new year. For us liturgical nerds, like myself, that means that the commentary of year C goes back on the shelf, the commentary of year A comes out. We're on a three-year cycle that changes up every year on the first Sunday of Advent. The first Sunday of the year always starts at the ending instead of the beginning. There's always a message about the great transformation that is to come. Matthew tells us in the text that we just heard Pedro read that we don't know when the Son of Humanity, the Messiah, will return. And it tells us to always be ready. To the more liberal and progressive Christians among us, myself included, these words might sound a bit strange. They remind us maybe of the messages that we've heard in conservative churches, churches that scare people into commitments and allegiance, that we should always be ready, because at any moment, if you're doing the wrong thing, you're going to be stuck here, while those who are doing the right thing and saying the right thing and believing the right thing are going to disappear. That's not really what this particular text is about. It sounds like it, as Matthew is writing about two women in the field grinding the meal, and one of them is just gone. There has been so much fiction written around this passage that people start to believe that it's about a literal taking off. You're just going to be standing there, and you're going to watch the bottoms of your friends' feet as they fly up into the sky. But it is about something. It's not just about nothing. We don't just need to throw the whole thing out because it sounds too crazy. It lets us think about the fact that we really don't know what God has planned for us. We know that there is something better than this. And there's a lot of theology written about what it means and about a judgment of God that comes. And we hear through our ears today, and we hear in our hearts today with maybe a filter of fear on top of it, saying God is going to judge us, so we should be terrified, as opposed to the concept that God is going to bring justice. Bringing justice means holding people accountable and radically changing the way the world works, so that those who are unjust become just, which is much nicer than thinking, oh, I didn't say the right type of prayer when I woke up this morning, and that's why my friend is up in the sky and I'm stuck here. In the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, we hear that God's word is enacted. God's word in the Hebrew scriptures is much more of a physical act. God's word happens as the word comes to life humanity. Isaiah presents this vision and gives the reader a chance to engage God's word in a specific way, a way that is relevant to us today, just as it was relevant back then, thousands of years ago. Isaiah's vision of the mountain talks about the rich exploiting the poor. We know that that happens still today. It talks about worshipers that are too preoccupied with sacrifice and obedience, too preoccupied with all the stuff that confuses us and distracts us, to pay attention to the real justice that God is calling us to. Isaiah lays out for us the way that God will radically transform the world, the corrective and the redirective measures that God will take, and what justice will look like. So it's not just like, snap, everything is fixed. There is a process of redirection, of correction, of us getting in line with the justice issues that matter the most. There is a great mountain of God, and there the people will meet God. The God that they meet is not the one who lives only in words, but in action. An enfleshed, moving God with the power to transform the world. People will hear God in a new way, not with their ears, but with their hearts. The God that Isaiah is telling us about is an all-inclusive, all-welcoming God. The Word of God is not just for Israel, but for all people of all nations. The Word of God is heard on the hearts of all who stream towards God on this mountain. And this good news can be a little difficult to swallow, as the Word of God and the encouragement therein is about the present situation, the present lives that we lead, and how they can cloud our understanding of God, our ability to comprehend God's ways, God's message. This is a wonderful way to kick off Advent, because Advent is confusing. Advent is that 4 weeks leading up to Christmas when we're, a lot of us, way more in contact with our families than we are the other 11 months out of the year. We get caught up in the minutiae of here and now. It's not a bad thing how we are leading up to Christmas. These decorations are great. It's not distracting us in a bad way that we have lights and trees in the sanctuary, reminding us that Christmas is coming. But it's also really hard as we wind up our calendar year to not get completely distracted by so much. Has anyone noticed how horrible traffic has gotten in the last 2 weeks? Yeah, seriously. Well, partly it's the snowbirds. That's true. We love you, snowbirds. Welcome back. But also, it is that people are running more errands after work. They're out of their cars more, and they have a lot less patience and paying attention a lot less. There are studies, not just in places where we have winter migration of people, but where all around the country there are more car accidents, more domestic violence, more random acts of violence leading up to Christmas. And that is because of a few things. One is, I think that there is just a heightened amount of emotion, people nostalgic for the Christmas of their youth, or people traumatized by the Christmases of their youth, or some combination of the two, and preparing for Christmas is a challenge. And there's just a lot more to be done, and we are distracted. It is so easy to get distracted. And it's not bad. It doesn't mean we're bad people. It doesn't mean that us distracted ones, and I definitely, if anyone's ever been in a text conversation with me and then I just disappear, you know, Jacob got distracted. Chad is laughing. It's not just those of us who get distracted that are, you know, doing the wrong thing and we're going to watch our friends float up to heaven. That's not the message of this, of God redirecting us and saying, pay attention to what matters. It's not that when you aren't paying attention, you're a horrible person. It's just that we need some redirection to know how to pay attention and to remember that there is something way more important than the traffic, than the buying of Christmas presents, than the decorating, even more important than the family gatherings. There is something else that we are working toward. And that can be hard for us to take in. We lose sight of the God who speaks to our hearts when we get caught up in all of these little things. Chaos, the stress, and then on a greater scale, war, famine, the terrible things that are happening in this world. We begin our march to the Christmas season with the words of Isaiah promising us that human beings will beat their swords into plowshares. I love that phrase. Beat your swords into plowshares. Instead of learning the ways of war, instead of learning to fight and kill, instead of having weapons with which to harm other human beings, we learn to feed the hungry. We will turn our weapons of destruction into tools of nourishment. That is the promise of Isaiah, and that is the promise of Christ, and there is work to be done to get there. When we gloss over the Christmas season and the Advent season that leads up to it, we can so easily forget that there is work to be done. That those swords don't magically become plowshares. They have to be beaten into plowshares. The metal has to be transformed. And that takes work. Isaiah's mountain is a place that our hearts are already familiar with. Our hearts are already longing for and yearning for. Its tasks are those which our hands were made for. But we forget, right? Because life is chaotic and distracting. We get complacent. We become cynics. We become apathetic. And all of these are the opposite of what Isaiah wants for us. What Isaiah is showing us is our possibility. Not just Isaiah's vision thousands of years ago, and not just this future time when we don't know that, like a thief in the night, we don't know when the Son of Humanity will come back. But right now, today, we can start working towards this vision. God will hold us accountable to each other. Not so that the wicked can be punished and the righteous can laugh. Here's one of those places that we get so distracted. Right? Because people, human nature, we're kind of competitive. We think, okay, I'm going to do it all right. And then, man, I'm going to laugh at them when I'm up in heaven and other people did it wrong. Right? Even us who are on the far more liberal and progressive side can become very self-righteous when it comes to theology and saying, we're going to know one day the ultimate truth that we got it right. And those people are wrong. That's distraction. When we learn God's justice, we learn about a sacred reorienting of how we are. Not competitive, not so that some people are wicked and some people are good and the good can laugh at the wicked. That's not what it's about. It is about all of us opening our hearts to God's message, all of us streaming towards that mountain. And our trees are up. And for about 5 minutes this week, it was cold. Many of us have refrigerators that are full of leftovers from Thanksgiving celebrations. As I said, the stores are chaotic, the roads are chaotic, and the Christmas season is marked by all of these things. These are the signs of the holidays, for better or for worse. And there is nothing at all wrong with it. Road rage, not my favorite. But there is nothing at all wrong with the things that we are seeing that signify that Christmas is coming. The lattes that used to have pumpkin spice now have peppermint. You know, this is just a sign that Christmas is coming. And then alongside those things, as we're sipping our peppermint lattes, missing our pumpkin spice, that's the most controversial flavor that exists, right? So much controversy. Alongside all of these things, we should remember the lessons of this book, because there is good stuff in here. We should remember that our spears can be beaten into pruning hooks. And the truth that Christmas, as a holiday, as a commercial endeavor, is far more comfortable for us. Because it is easier to distract ourselves with the fun and the frivolous, with gifts and holiday traditions, with the beautiful things that we have created as people. Those things are easier to focus on and distract ourselves with than the real possibility that what is impossible is actually a possible thing. The reality that those things that we say could never happen not only can, but will happen because God has promised them. When peace seems impossible, when no more need to feed the hungry seems impossible, we know that God has promised that with the work of our hands, we will get there. And Advent is the season when we wait. It is the season when we are waiting for the Word to become flesh. We know from the Gospels that the Word comes to us as flesh, and when it comes, just like all humans and all animals, it comes to us as a baby. But this, the scripture encourages us to not stop there. Let's not spend this month of waiting building up towards just the baby. Because we all know that that's just where the life starts. That's where the work starts. Christianity is more than Christmas morning. It's more than the presents and the excitement and the memories that we have of our lives as children. Christmas tells us that we can live into a vision of fullness today, right now, even in this Advent season of waiting. Not tomorrow, not at the end of time, but today. We can start that work. We don't know when the Son of Humanity will return, but we know that we can bring the peace of Christ into this world today, lighting the way to this unfamiliar peace. Amen.